Ah, we thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says this to the people of Corinth as he was talking to them about my thought processes, spiritual conditioning. He says, people who do not have God's spirit do not accept the things that come from his spirit. They know these things. They think these things are foolish. They cannot understand them because they only understand, only help the spirit. You know, we condition ourselves for a lot of different things. People who play football condition themselves to play football. They practice, they exercise, they eat certain type of proteins, and they do certain things to get their body conditioned so that they can play a good game. All different type of people who are in sports, they do things to condition themselves. But sometimes we condition ourselves to certain things, certain beliefs, and not even realize that we do that. We condition ourselves to eat right. We condition ourselves to do certain things. I know when my doctor put me on this diet because he didn't like the way that my blood sugar level was looking. He said I'm a pre-diabetes, but he didn't want me to fall into becoming diabetes. So he put me on this nine a day. I could not eat in the hamburger. I could not eat in the red meat. He told me that I couldn't drink in the sweet drinks. I couldn't eat in a can, and y'all know that was a bad situation for me. So because he had me conditioned on these certain things, eating these certain things, what was happening then, I was starting to lose weight. And see, I don't have no weight to lose. Y'all know I ain't got no weight to be losing. So he had me on this eating certain things, so I would lose weight. And before that, I was conditioning myself to gain weight. See, I have in my mind, my doctor and I had this situation in my mind, and he was saying a good weight for me was 145 pounds, 150 pounds. And so I was conditioning myself to do that because that's where I want to be at, because we agreed that they were going to be. But my doctor's got on this lose weight thing, and he's got down to, he almost smaller than I am. And every time I go in there, he's talking about a loser weight. I'm talking about gaining some weight. So my doctor was conditioning, because he liked to see people lose weight. So he was conditioning me with all these different foods they want to eat. So the last time I saw him, I said, I can't lose no weight. We got to come up with something different than what it is. So he didn't give me anything different. So I decided to condition myself. I'm going to moderate what I do. No, but I'm going to go in between what he want and what I want. I still want to try to get to my 145, okay? Because I feel like that's a comfortable weight to be at. That's a good weight to be at. So I'm still doing that. No, so I figure in my mind, I'm conditioning my mind. It might not be working very well, but I'm conditioning my mind that I'm gonna limit the name things that I do. But see, I always do that anyway. I've always conditioned myself from, I don't know for how long, that I only eat to survive. I only eat at need. See, I don't eat based on taste. I don't eat because I enjoy. I mean, I do like what I eat, but I eat based on, I just eat enough to survive. Y'all know what I'm saying? Somebody know what I'm saying? Which means my plate is not overflowing. And the reason I do that, because I used to be on the board or a member of the American Diabetes Association. And when we used to go around to these different things that we go to, and we talked about people and talked to people who had that, I understood that it was based on what you ate and how much you ate. See, I knew that, so I have always, you know, and when we talked about folks in American Diabetes, we always tell folks that when in your plate, keep the stuff inside the brim. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say brim. Yeah. You should only put enough food on your plate that it stays inside the brim. And how many folks in here does that? Nobody, don't raise your hand if you ain't doing it. You do it. All right, I got one here that says she does that. But that's what the American diabetes teaches when we used to go out and we used to do our seminaries and used to do our thing. That is what we taught people. Keep your food. See, if you don't know what you want to eat, how much you eat, keep it inside the brim, and you ain't got to try to figure out nothing else from there. If you do that, you will help the situation out. So I've always been that way. I've been that way all the time. You know, I remember my first experience of conditioning. I know I got at least one military person. Anybody else in here been in the military? I got two military. You're military and a military back there. So I don't know, but you probably remember. You kind of young. You just went in. They probably don't do it like they do now, like they did back then when we went in. But the one thing I don't remember very much about being in the military, but the one thing I do remember is my conditioning day one when I went into boot camp. Yeah. See, when you go in the military, they condition you from day one. From day one, you get to be conditioned to do things the way they want you to do it, to think the way they want you to think, to live the way they want you to think, to build your body the way they want you to build your body. They condition you from day one. You are being conditioned to do what the government, the U.S. government wants you to do, be it the Air Force, be it the Army, be it the Navy, whatever you in, you are conditioned from day one. And I still remember day one. Yeah. I remember my first condition. I remember getting on that cattle horse, and they call it a cattle horse because everybody is packed on this one bus. Might not do it that way today, but we had everybody packed on that one bus. And they drove, and I was in Fort Jackson, South Carolina, and they drove me to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. I had my buff. See, they give you their clothes. They give you their ideas. They give you everything you need. They condition you to think the way they want you to think. So, I had my duffel bag. I had my situation. I had my, look, I had my part of what I wanted to hold on to survive or to see where I came from. I still had some of that in my duffel bag. See, I had some candy bars in there. Yeah. Yeah, I had some candy bar. See, before I went there, I wanted to have a little bit of something. So I had a few things that, you know, that I still want to, you know, so I think I still had a little mustache or something that they made me dry shave. Yeah, right there. Take a razor out and dry shave that thing. Take it off right now. Any part of what I thought I was going to hold on to, that wasn't what they wanted me to hold on to. So they was conditioning me. So when you come off the bus, when you get off the bus, everybody gets off the bus, you stand in line. And the first thing they make you do is dump everything that you think is important to you in the dirt. Yeah. You unload your whole duffel bag right there before you. On the pavement, dirty and all. So if you got something in there that you thought was something, if you had a picture of your mom and all that kind of stuff, it all hit the dirt. That was letting them know right now that you belong to me. It was conditioning you. And so I had my candy bar bloop. See it right now. No, my Hershey candy bars that I had in there. Hit the ground. I had to eat them all right there, standing before this drill sergeant, screaming in my ears, hollering at me. Like I said, I had this dry shave because I didn't. They cut your hair all off, but see, you try to hold on to something, you know. So by the time they cut my hair off, the time I got there, I had grew another little mustache up there. But no. I took a razor, and I dry shaved that right there. No, nothing. Just dry shave. Gotta go. So. They did. They conditioned. They wanted to get me ready and get me right so that I could survive. I could make it through military life. See, I may have not liked that at that day, but after it's all over, after I made it through boot camp and I realized what they were doing and I was better off than who I was before, when I went in there, I probably couldn't even do push-up, one push-up, 10 push-up, but when I left there, I could do 50 or more push-ups, no problem at all. But for the first week, you did not walk anywhere. You had to run everywhere. Conditioning. You run to get something to eat. You run. If you go in this place, you run. You couldn't walk. For the first 2 weeks that you was in there, you had to run everywhere. And after that 2 weeks, then they kind of eased up on you. So for 2 weeks, you were being pushed, you were being yelled at, So I always tell this one story. I don't know if you heard this one story, but here I am. I'm still trying to do what I want to do, even though there are conditions. So one night, see, it was in the barracks I was in, there was the office. Right, I could look at my office where the drill sergeant everybody stayed at, and right behind there was a soda machine and ice cream machine. Yeah, if you was past your 2 weeks, you could go there and get it. If you had been there for a while, you go to the machine and you could put your money in there and you could get your soda, you get some ice cream. But if you've been in there, still in that 2 week period of time, you wasn't supposed to do that. So here it is. It's late at night. I'm looking over there and that machine is all lit up, calling my name. Tony. Come on here and get the ice cream. Couldn't even sleep. Because that light was shining through the window. That's calling me. Ice cream. Ice cream. Hallelujah, somebody. So I decided one night, I'm going to slide on out the barracks. And I run over there, and I'm looking here, looking there, and I'm looking all around. I thought I was nice and clear there, and I put my money. I got two ice creams. I got two of them. I got me two ice cream bars out there. And by the time I picked that one up and look around, there's a drill sergeant standing right behind me. He made me to eat the first one real quick. I mean, not stopping. He took the second one, which was an ice cream chocolate bar. You know, chocolate with the stuff in the middle. He made me put that thing down my shirt and smash it on my chest. Yeah. When I think about that, see, I remember that. I might not remember a whole lot of things about being in the military, but I remember those two things. Because I'm telling you right now, they was conditioned burnt in my mind that I got the story. They won't mean a business. They won't mean it. They was meaning business. They won't mean it that I could do what I want to do, but just because I wanted to do it. But after it was all over with, and after I made it through boot camp and I made it through training, I realized that what the government, what the army was doing, did me better than it did me worse. But we got to realize that not all conditioning in our life is good for us. We have to decide what is the best conditioning that we need. Spiritual conditioning, we have got to, as Christian, we must condition ourselves to allow the Spirit to listen, to allow the Spirit to talk it to us, and for us to hear what the Spirit is saying. It doesn't automatically happen. And just because you say you are a Christian don't mean that you are automatic conditioned to do that. That's what Paul said, what he said. He said that folks who are not spiritually conditioned cannot hear what the Spirit is saying. See, Jesus came, and he came and he said that I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. But we have to condition ourselves to listen to the Spirit, so that we understand what the Spirit wants us to do, when the Spirit wants us to do it, where the Spirit wants us to go, how the Spirit wants us to act. We have to understand that we as individuals cannot hear what God is saying unless we hear it through the Spirit. God could be talking to us all day long, but we cannot hear it with our natural ears. Understand that. You can't hear it with your natural ear. You can't hear it with your natural understanding. You can't hear it with your natural being. You have to allow the Holy Ghost that's within you, allow you to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you want to live that abundant life, you have got to follow what the Spirit is telling you to do. See, when you go down on your knees and you pray to your big brother, how many in here pray to your big brother? See, our big brother is Jesus Christ. He said that Jesus said that whenever God gave Jesus the authority, and Jesus said that whenever you pray in my name, that's why we always say in the name of Jesus. In your prayer, always make sure you end it in the name of Jesus. Condition yourself to end it in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has the authority. God gave Jesus the authority, and Jesus said that whatever you ask in my name, in the name of Jesus, he said that the Father will give it to you. Because see, this is what happens. The word tells us that when Jesus ascended back up to heaven, he is now sitting. He erred because he died. He was born, and he lived this time period, and he was crucified, and he was buried, and then he was risen by the God, and then he was ascended back up to heaven. And because he paid the dues for us, the word tells us that he is sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, and he is interceding for us. He is praying for us. He is talking to the Father for us. He is pleading to the Father for us. So when we pray in the name of Jesus, what Jesus does, he looks over to his Father and says, Father, this is your son, this is your daughter, and I'm asking you to do it in my name. Not in my name, not in your name, not in anybody else's name, not in anybody, any bishop's name, not in any pastor's name, not in anybody, don't make a difference, not in the president's name. God don't even act in the president's name. Don't make, even if he's the president of the United States, God don't move in the president's name. He don't move in any star, in the movie star name. No. Oprah Winfrey, she might be able to say all kind of stuff she wants, and a whole lot of folks jump, but God don't jump in her name. Yeah, get me, y'all get me? Yeah. God don't jump in nobody's name. No, make no difference if they're a billionaire, millionaire, trillionaire, or whatever air they are. They can make people jump. They can make people do things, but they cannot even. Guess what makes us the same as everybody else? A billionaire has got to ask in the name of Jesus just like you do. Yeah, he got all his money, she got all her money, but they can't go to God no more than what you can. Hallelujah. So look at the power we have as sons and daughters of God. And guess what? A trillionaire who don't believe in God don't have the power that you have. See, you got to condition yourself to use your power. See, a trillionaire just got his tree, and God has got trees of trees of trillions. Y'all get me? And you have the ability, you condition yourself. You get yourself in that condition where you know how to go to God. See, you got to condition yourself to know how to let go whatever it is that you can't go to God with. You can't go to God in your attitudes. Yeah. You might go in somebody else's presence. You might go in your boss office with your attitude and gonna tell him or she what ain't working. Yeah, they might let you get by with that, because if you're a good worker, they don't want to fire you. I've went in my boss office a many times with attitude. Told him all kinds of stuff and didn't make no difference at all. Soon I walked out the door, he probably said, who he think he is? And he said, shut the door behind you. And what I said probably went into one ear, went out the other one. Yeah, hallelujah. So we can go before certain people in our attitudes, in our demeanors, and the way we are. But let me tell you right now, you better leave your attitude behind when you go to the presence of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. See, you can ask God for stuff, but watch out how you ask him. Yeah, hallelujah. It says that we have to go humble before the presence of God. So guess what? The trillionaire who don't believe in God, who don't believe in the name of Jesus Christ, doesn't have the power that you have. Yeah, hallelujah. You can call on Jesus' name, the authority, the power. and whatever it is. God says that these things that I've done stalk through the winds and the winds stop. Talk to the sun and it stays up in the sky. God said that these things, Jesus said that these things that I had, that I've done while I was on earth, greater things that you can do that believe and call upon God in my name. Oh, yeah, you can do it. Hallelujah. Somebody might think I'm crazy, but there are many times it was going to rain. I wanted my grass cut, and I asked God to hold the rain. And God held the rain till my grass got cut. I'm going to tell you, I believe it so much because the cloud was following me back and forth as my lawnmower was going. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, you think I might be just talking, but I done been many times out there, and I'm on my way. I'm down this end, and it's pouring down, raining like cats and dogs, and I get home, and I know the rain's coming my way, and it is clear as on the way, and I'm like, God, I got to get this grass cut. So when I jump on the lawnmower, I see the black storm, I see the black cloud, and as I'm going up and down my yard cutting my grass, it's like the clouds are going up and down. And there's been a plenty of time that I have pulled my lawnmower back in the garage and the ceiling just fell open. Hallelujah. I believe in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Because in the word, it says that, and I believe what the word says. So you have to condition yourself to believe it. Don't just be a Christian by name. Be a Christian by belief. Yeah. Believe everything that God says in his word. If he says you can have it, then by means you can have it. And you got to believe that you can have it. Somebody give God a praise right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, isn't he a good God? Yeah. He's a wonderful, wonderful, amazing God. And he is a loving Father, and he wants to bless his people abundantly. That is why Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy life. I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Ghost just put it in my mind, and I don't know who it is, but he wants you laying back on the beaches of wherever you want to lay. If you want to lay back on the beaches of Hawaii and let the waves just come back and forth across your back, God wants you to see that wonderful joy of what he's created. Hallelujah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. It's amazing. Getting in a plane for the first time is so amazing. You up there and you see everything that he's created. Oh, it is so wonderful to be so close to heaven. God gave man the wisdom, the knowledge, the power to put tons and tons of metal in the air that shouldn't be up there. Yeah. Cruise ships. God gave man the power to put tons and tons of metal floating across the water that should be sinking. Man didn't do that all by himself. God gave man the power to understand how to do it, and he gave the power and the understanding of how to do it so that we don't be limited to what we can enjoy. See, if you don't fly, you're limited to what God has given us. If you never get on a boat and get on a cruise and go anywhere else other than just in Virginia, you miss all the wonder of God. And see, there's even things of wonder that God has done. See, all you got to do is go 3 hours from here and go up in the Massanutten in the mountains and look at how beautiful the mountains are and up in that area and how what God has put his finger. See, God put his hand down and drew out everything that we can see. He touched with his fingertip. He made the canyons. He made the mountains. He made the valleys. He made the oceans so pure, that they are so clear that you can look down, walk in them, and you go like the places like Bahamas. You can walk in the middle of the water, and they're so clear, and you see the fishes swimming around your feet. God created that. Not just to create them, he did it for his people. He did it for you and I. And he wants us to enjoy. Condition yourself to know who God is. Condition yourself spiritually to want to see everything that God has done for his people. And we are his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise be his name. Yes, yes. Couple things I want to share with you today. If you look over in the corner behind you, off to the, let me see, your left behind you, you'll see there's a table set up. What we want to do, that is the, no, you can do right now, you can do the Lord's Supper whenever you want to. Whenever you want to have communion, whenever the church is open, you can come in here and have communion. That's what that table is set up for, anytime. If you don't feel comfortable doing it all by yourself, you can set an appointment with the executive pastor, set an appointment with me, and we will meet you and go through communion with you. You want to do it, says as often as you do it, you remember of his name. But we don't want to make it a tradition where every Tuesday or every Thursday or every this, you know, you come up here and you condition to just do it. But if you got your family, say, hey, I want me and my fellow ones to do communion, pick up the phone or text the first lady or myself and say, hey, can y'all do communion with me and my family? And we'll set an appointment and we'll meet you down here and we'll go through communion with you. So anytime the church is open or anytime you want to just make an appointment and you want to communicate with me and you want to remember, if you want to, you know, have communion, and then go to the Lord's Supper, we can do that. It is set up. Missionary Pamela Sonner is responsible for that. She will keep it supplied and keep it, you know, everything we need to put up there. So I want to make sure y'all probably seen that one and what it was, just sitting back, that's what it is. This is the grand open of our communion center. So it's there for you. It's there for you to, you know, to as many times as you want to go in and pray and seek God and break his body and his blood in communion with God. Amen? Amen. Isn't God good? All the time. I didn't see it, but some of the members, executive pastor, some of the members saw another church would do it. I said, oh, that is such a good idea. They do it at their church that way. And I said, oh, that is such an amazing idea to let allow people to commune with God, to do the Lord's Supper whenever and however they want to when the church is open. So it is there. Right now, we're out here every Monday, every Tuesday. No, I'm out here on Fridays, and, you know, and like I said, if you want to do it separate by yourself or whatever, just give us a call. And if you don't feel comfortable doing it, give us a call. And then, you know, we can set it up and we'll meet you and we'll go through it with you. Amen.